Its name is Quetzalcoatl. Just call it Q. That's all you'll have time to say before it tears you apart.
Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Q, I guess, aka Q the Winged Serpent.
1982.
Yeah. I want to say that there isn't a movie that I want to talk about less than Q the Winged Serpent. I mean, I don't know if it's because we watched this after, or I watched it after watching Gorgo, but they're like almost from like the jump, I was like, this movie's off-putting. And I don't have a problem with like gore, and I don't have a problem with boobs, but there was just something about this movie that was off-putting, and I don't know what it was, because I'm cool with all kinds of weird stuff. It was just a weird movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about Q. I have notes. And this is one of those movies that growing up was always a VHS cover that I saw like at the video store. It's kind of like a burgundy cover, and it had like a big yellow Q on it with the serpent kind of flying and wrapped around it.
Right.
And I always thought, oh, that looks cool. I never once saw it. There's like an old movie from like the 40s, I think, called The Flying Serpent. I remember seeing that. It's really boring. It's on our list. But I was always, I was like, oh man, I should watch that movie Q, because it'll be like updated and like the serpent will look cooler and
yeah, because it looks like it's a fantasy creature.
Yeah,
in you know, it's like in the Chrysler's building, right? So it's like,
yeah
like the artwork, it's a really nicely painted
it looks like it's from like a Conan comic or something.
Yeah,
like it looks like a Frank Frazetta. It's like dragon.
It's Boris Vallejo. Okay.
This movie is not fantasy. I mean, I guess it kind of is, but it's not what the cover looks like. I don't know if I would call it a crime movie or like a detective movie. We spend equal time with the detective as we do the criminal.
Yeah, I was like, there's a diamond heist in this monster movie.
Yeah, and I think I'm fine with that. Sort of like these, like it's like a, it almost feels like, okay, it's a cop movie. Like if you told me, hey, there's this cool cop movie, and during the cop movie, there's also like a dragon.
I would have rather had that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, cool.
Like if you didn't know it was coming. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but and the fact that the movie is just called Q, I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. So if I saw this without knowing there was a dragon in it, then I'd be like, oh shit, there's a dragon in it. Like, that's right. Crazy. But even as the movie progresses, it doesn't really, there's no mystery behind it. Like, we get like a guy decapitated, a window washer decapitated. We get a guy who's burnt.
Who deserves it? Because he's a creep.
Sure.
He's like, yeah. He's like creeping the lady out. That he's. By the way, that was a real window washer.
I assumed it didn't look like
they hired a lot of like the people. A lot of the people they hired were people to, like I think there was also like I think the SWAT team or like the guys with guns were people who were like working there on the building in the construction site.
Was it a real mime cop?
Oh no.
What? Okay.
I was like, he's undercover as a mime. What is the mime beat?
I don't know. You would think it would be like near like maybe Times Square or something, but no, it was like by that building. Okay, so like it. it's a weird movie.
Yeah, it's. I think when monster movies go into, also when they move towards horror, right, yeah, stuff like more like this is the whole it. All the shots of people getting skinned, so much of it.
It was one shot, and then they flipped the film so it looked like it was doing the other cheek.
The other side of
it. It was the same shot. But okay. But the thing, okay, so the movie, I got sidetracked. The movie's called Q. They don't explain. It doesn't say the winged serpent in the title. So mm-hmm. It's like, okay, it's a cop movie, and this guy got decapitated. That's really weird. I don't understand. So it kind of sets it up like a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But then they kind of just show you the serpent, like claws and shadows and stuff, like really quickly into the movie. And so it's like, oh, it's not really a mystery. I see the serpent. I know that there's a serpent because I seen its shadow and I seen the claws and stuff. But it's not until like 48 minutes until the police hear the reports that there's a giant serpent. Even though, like, people have seen it and there's been blood dripping on people. Like, it's not a mystery. It's not a mystery to anybody, including the viewer. But then, like, the cops hear about it, like, 40 minutes into the movie. And I'm like, well, where have you guys been? Is no one calling
like,
the police?
Are people just used to shit falling off of buildings and just having something? That's just something you have to deal with? Yeah. This is what happens when you live in the inner city.
That's New York in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, so the serpent, I feel like kind of, okay, so he gets the creeper guy at the window washer, and then there's like a burnt guy. I don't know what he was up to, but I think I saw his burnt wiener. And then there's the lady who's rubbing suntan lotion on her boobs, but then there's a dude watching her. So I thought maybe the serpent was going only after perverts. And then, but then the serpent goes after the lady, not the guy watching the lady. Right. And he's not looking at her through like a normal telescope. He like has an old timey, like nautical one, and he's really excited. I don't know. I think my main issue is I don't understand the motivations behind Quetzalcoatl or whatever its name is. Q. What's called Q.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, is it like selecting out creepers and like restoring order or something? I don't know. Is it a secret crime fighter that goes after people who are leering at other people? But no, that's not the case. It happens a little bit later with the dude in the pool, or not in the pool. Yeah, he's in the pool watching the girl do push-ups.
Right.
But there's really no motivation, and I don't understand a lot of the movie.
Yeah, there's a part that's kind of reminiscent to me for like the movie Wolfen.
I haven't seen it.
It's 1981, but it's like this kind of like it was, you know, like the idea of like a werewolf movie, but there's a bunch of stuff in it about Native American culture and shape-shifting and things like that. And it's kind of like in this one, it's like cramming Aztec culture behind a monster, you know, in the monster movie.
And it never seems like, I mean, the guy doing the skinning and the sacrificing, doing the Aztec ritual, talks about the serpent, but you never really get the sense that he conjured the serpent. I don't like,
right.
I think we're supposed to think that, but
yeah, they seem like they exist independent of each other.
Yeah. And at one point David Carradine says, like, we're talking about the same case. Like,
right.
He's trying to present the chief with the Aztec stuff. And the chief's like, we have some serpent that we keep hearing about. And they're like, it's the same case. And I'm like, I mean, I guess it is. when the blood was dripping from the sky, I think it's after the boob lady gets taken, or maybe somebody else. The blood dripping from the sky, and there's people reacting to it. There's one dude that kind of looks like Paul McCartney, and I swear to God, they dubbed in a Liverpool accent.
I missed that.
I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, don't go back and watch it again. I mean, maybe I can just find the clip. I'll put a picture of that dude in the episode collage. Michael Moriarty? Is that the...
Yeah.
I liked him.
He's good.
He's really good in the movie.
He's a good actor.
And I feel like... I like the idea... Because I guess the director of this movie also directed the movie Maniac Cop, which is a movie I really like. And Bruce Campbell kind of plays a character like this that nobody believes him, and he's trying to do everything he can to prove it. I feel like that kind of storyline would have worked better, and we didn't have the cop stuff. I think if he's kind of a dirtbag and this stuff is happening around him and he stumbles across the egg and stuff and nobody believes him, like, I would like to focus more on him than like Richard Roundtree and David Carradine.
Yeah.
I found him really, really interesting. And there's one scene that I really liked, and that was when he was trying to negotiate his terms.
Yeah.
To take them to the egg. I liked that whole scene where he was telling him he wants $1 million. He wants a full pardon. He wants the TV rights and the book rights and stuff. Like, I found that scene like very, very entertaining and interesting. And I found him interesting and entertaining.
I thought he was very good.
Yeah, and I don't really know him from anything else, but he was definitely, like, not that the other actors weren't taking it serious, but he was, like, pretty believable as a weird diamond thief.
Like,
you kind of root for him, even though he's a dirtbag. I guess he's just, you know.
Yeah, he definitely felt like the most... well-rounded person, like, as far as, like, he felt like a complete person.
Yeah,
for sure.
He stumbles across the egg and a skeleton, which I kind of like that. I like the skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the egg. And was the egg, the nest of the egg, was it made of bones? Did it look like bones, or was it just sticks and stuff?
To
me, at some points, it kind of looked like bones, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I felt like there were a bunch. I don't know if the nest was made with bones, but there were definitely a lot more bones up there for sure.
Yeah, the egg skeleton room.
I forgot he had that gun in his pants.
Oh yeah,
and he was like, it was like he did this thing where he sees the skeleton, and then he has does this thing with his pants, and I was like, what the? It's like the skeleton's like, ooh, it's going, oh, calm down. And then he pulls the gun out. I was like, oh yeah, there's a gun in there. Or it was like it looked like he was checking his zipper, like his zipper was down or something. Uh-huh. Some weird reaction. Yeah, there's a lot in it. I go like, oh boy. hold on. The thing about this movie that I saw somewhere in like the trivia or something, where I guess what had happened was Larry Cohen was working on something else, and it was like basically he was about to get fired on some movie, or he got fired on some movie because he had something else he was working on because he was at odds with the producers. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, I'm still going to be like working on the maybe it was Eye of the Jury. I don't know, but basically the point was he was like he got fired and he still had like 5 days in this hotel room. So he's like, oh, I'm going to write a movie right now and just kind of like throw something together and make another movie out of this time that I have here in this New York hotel room. And he was friends with David Carradine from way back. So he was like, just like, I think Dave Carradine agreed to do it without even having read the script or anything yet. And just kind of basically threw together the whole thing in pre-production of like maybe a week.
Wow.
Not totally surprising when you see it. Yeah, there's just stuff you go, oh. The guy, the construction guy that all the other people are fucking with.
Yeah, with his lunch. They took his lunch.
His threat. If anyone ate that sandwich, I'm going to shove the thermos up your asses one at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the leg in the street.
Yeah. The ritual, they show the skinning shot at the beginning, but it seems like from here on out, it's always just like slicing down the chest.
Yeah.
And the mask, like the dude who's doing the ritual has this crazy big like papier-mâché pinata eagle head.
Yes.
It's, I don't know if I like it or not. It's really dumb. It's
the
only
costume in the show. It's like, it's the only thing that you'd consider as a costume.
Yeah.
I like the feathers body thing.
Oh, with the, yeah.
More than the blue feathers, more than the mask, but yeah.
Yeah.
There was, the music was weird in this. It was very jazz saxophone.
The songs were even weirder.
Like where he's like sitting and he's having the scene in the kitchen apartment. Mm-hmm. And the whole time there's just like, this jazz sax playing underneath. It's kind of like just kind of distracting, it felt.
And then he, when the guys come to his apartment and he runs down the fire escape, all of a sudden there's like this singing happening. And I don't know if it's a street performer, but it also kind of sounds like it's part of the soundtrack. And I noticed in the end credits that one of the songs was written by Michael Moriarty.
Oh, it was, that was the one that was, I think,
during that scene,
improvised in that bar scene.
Oh, okay.
I think that was his little...
Okay, that makes sense.
Please take off your pants and let me look at your leg. I like, so yeah, it's like he runs away from the Diamond Heist. He gets kind of hit by that taxi, and so he's got to limp the rest of the thing.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like, because he's not like a kind of guy who can go some like go to the doctor for help or anything like that.
Yeah,
he just sits and deals with it on his own. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. And when he leads those two guys, the two guys that were after him, he leads them and says, oh, yeah, the diamonds are up here. And he leads them to Q. The,
yeah, yeah.
And he's sitting there going, eat him, crunch, crunch.
See, that's, I mean, what if that was the movie? Like, that would be the movie. It would make, like, where he kind of becomes this, like, he works with Q just to bring people to him.
Yeah, he would lead his enemies
to
him.
Yeah, yeah. Like, remember, like, in Rodan?
That would have been interesting.
When those things just walked into Rodan's mouth, the Mega Nulon.
That'd be an interesting idea. The only problem is to get up there is very difficult to get to.
Yeah.
The people have to want to go.
Yeah. And I don't know what he would get out of it unless he, like, lures people with, like, cases of money.
Yeah.
Like, he says, I have these diamonds. Come with me. He right. takes them up there. They get eaten. He keeps the money. Like, that'd be interesting. Like, he doesn't have to have, like, it would make Q more interesting, too, because Q doesn't really have any personality. Q just kind of goes, there's one point where Q kills another construction worker just by, like, flying by, swinging a claw and tossing him off the side of the building. It's, like, a really quick moment.
Yeah.
But it's, like, okay, so is Q not just killing these people for food? Q's just killing people to kill people. And so it's, like, I don't understand Q's motivation. Like, I get it if it's... He's going to go around just taking out assholes and perverts. That's,
yeah.
That makes sense. But then, like, or if he's just going for food, that makes sense too. But, like, there's, like, just, like, a couple of random killings where he's not keeping them for food. And, like, I don't understand what the motivation is for Q.
Right. Yeah, I don't quite get Q. First of all, Serpent. I mean, I don't get Serpent from him either in his design. He looks like a crawling kaiju that was like super skinny.
His face reminded me of the thing that got deleted out of your version of King Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
And so I'm like it's kind of
like
cool looking.
Like a snapping turtle face.
Yeah. But like skin color. Like it's a kind of a cool design. It's weird. I can't tell if it has feathers or if it's skin colored. Like I don't think it has feathers.
No.
But it's the wings have the shape of feathers, so it's like skin feathers. I don't know. They're not like bat wings.
It gets real racist in the diner.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, cringe.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just something that kind of gross about this movie. And I guess like maybe it's showing like real New York at that time, but at the same time it's like it's still too gross for me.
You know what part I really did like, aside from the undercover mime cop? when the egg hatched, the creature in the egg.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty great.
Yeah. Or when he was shooting it up, David Carradine was shooting it up with like the Uzi. Like that.
Yeah.
Mime on the phone. Statue of Liberty. You get a little bit of history on the Statue of Liberty.
There's a shot of the World Trade Center in it.
Yeah, there's a couple. And I watched this on September 11th. It was kind of weird.
Ooh.
The what's weird also is, so they talk about this building that they're going into, and it has like a little Statue of Liberty on it, and they're like, oh yeah, that was like the thing that they modeled it after. And then I watched the Gorgo, making of Gorgo, after I watched this, and that has a miniature Statue of Liberty in France when they thought to bring the movie to the set the movie in France. I was like, oh, that's weird. Another little Statue of Liberty. The tracer rounds from the police look like lasers, which I thought that was kind of cool. They look like they're shooting lasers out of the Chrysler building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, like, I like that. I like just the idea of guys shooting machine guns out of the building and the flying serpent attacking the building. It's like a reverse King Kong.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's great. That's
even though I have no idea why Q is there, and I guess the sacrifices work and he was summoned somehow. I don't know. But yeah, they shot the tracer rounds look like laser beams. And then there's a couple of dudes that get tossed out of the Chrysler building, and they're like totally like claymation, like noodly arms flying down into the off of the building.
Yeah.
There was a so our last episode we talked about people panicking. This movie had some pretty decent panicking in the streets, except there was one shot that was kind of above, looking down at the street and people running, and one guy falls over for no reason and just kind of starts rolling around on the ground. But there's not enough people there to like cause him to do that.
Right. Oh yeah. So. It trying to create crowd effects when they don't have the people.
The standoff in the apartment with the Aztec executioner dude, and David Carradine has to keep shooting him because he won't die.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun, I guess.
Yeah, that was fun.
He kept getting up with the knife. I think that's all I have. I don't have much for this movie.
I guess there's stuff in the 98 Godzilla that people say was lifted from this movie.
Oh, I can't imagine what. I think the Chrysler building gets taken out by helicopters. And then there's like eggs and stuff. I don't know. I haven't seen that movie in years. And I mean, we're going to get to it eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
I don't know if it's like an unspoken thing, but I think we're... I don't know if we want to save it for a special occasion or what... Like, I feel like we've waited so long to watch that one that I feel like it's got to be for like an anniversary or something.
Okay, sure.
Or it's... I really remember not liking that movie. It might be fine. It might be fine now that we've had like some real Godzilla since then, like with the millennial era of Godzilla Toho and like Shin Godzilla and, you know, the Monsterverse and stuff. Like, enough time has passed where, you know, that's not the only Godzilla we have. This movie, yeah, I can't think of anything, but I guess we'll find out eventually.
This guy does not die easily.
That was good. That was a good bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good bit because they took it past what you go, oh, okay. Still one more.
Yeah, one more.
There's definitely a part also where like the guy falls, but he has to make sure he hits the bed. He kind of did like a
quick glance back.
A little adjustment to land on the bed. Yeah, I don't think I'd recommend it.
I don't think so either. I wouldn't. I mean, this is our 72nd episode, and then we have like 5 bonus episodes. Like, there's so much more stuff I would recommend.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't even know what.
Yeah, this is like we throw things in like this as like palate cleansers in a way, just to kind of stretch, like, all right, let's then it is a kaiju movie.
Yeah.
It counts. And then you're like going, oh, why don't we stick with like what we know is going to be good, or not necessarily good, but that what we know is, you know, stays in the sweet spot sometimes.
Well, I mean, I feel like when we decided to do it, I was excited because I had always seen that VHS cover.
Yeah.
I was always excited to finally check it out. And the fact that it was like on Amazon Prime, it was like, okay, it's easy to watch. It's going to be good quality. And I just,
yeah, it's like the reason I suggested it was because I saw when I was like scrolling through the guide on the TV, it came up and I set it to record. So it's been sitting on my DVR. And then actually when I went to go watch it, it was like SD in the DVR. Oh. So I ended up just going and watching it through Prime as well.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch a Daimajin.
Oh,
before revisiting this.
Oh, like, before? Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably rewatch, like... No, I'm not even talking about the one we haven't seen yet.
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever watch this again.
I no. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yet, Mike Moriarty is a very good actor in this.
That's what I was going to say. I was just going to say, I would go find other Michael Moriarty movies.
Watch him do... Like, I liked... Because he also had this, he's your typical thug, you know?
Yeah.
And he had like really like he had like the history of like he's been in prison twice. Mm-hmm. Once he definitely did it, but the other time was pinned on him. Like that whole thing was good.
Yeah.
The cast is good.
Yeah. I feel like Richard Roundtree didn't have much to do other than to just be mad.
No, but there it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, Richard Roundtree and David Carradine as partners.
Yeah.
I was like, it started out, I was like, this might have some potential. And yeah, no, can't. Oh, and then it ends though. It ends with that aerial shot of that building. That building looked pretty cool, whatever that weird looking building was. Yeah. And then we kind of go and we get in there and then there's another egg.
Yeah, that's one of those shots where you know it's coming.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Like, and then it cracks open, and the camera flies into it.
Right.
For the fade to black. Yeah. Yeah. That's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
We watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad enough to enjoy its badness. Yeah. Wasn't good enough to enjoy. Period. There it is.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about next episode. next episode is kind of sort of heading towards the Halloween season. I guess Halloween's kind of season's kind of right now.
the way you said Halloween. You said it in a weird. Okay, go on.
I was trying to just frame
Halloween.
I don't know why I'm trying to explain why we're watching the movie we're watching. But it's from the director of Gorgo, which we watched recently. We're watching Black Scorpion.
We're watching it because the scorpion's got those weird faces.
It's got weird faces and foamy mouth.
Oh, he has foamy mouth?
Yeah, he has foamy mouth.
Boom. Oh, there's no foam. No foam or white goop in this movie either. Another reason not to like it.
Maybe that's why that guy, one guy jumped into the pool after watching those girls do push-ups.
Yeah.
Gross.
There's a lot of creepiness.
So yeah, I'm excited for Black Scorpion.
Yeah, like the camera, the lady's like putting suntan, putting lotion on her in the topless scene. The cameraman really got in there.
Yeah, yeah. You make sure you see that lotion get into the pores.
It's like, goodness.
It's just a gross. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Black Scorpion. You could probably watch that on kaijupod.com, where you could also get links to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And look forward to watching and discussing that one. So until next time, oh boy. There's nothing fun in this movie that I'd want to do.
Gonna go see if I can find those diamonds that fell on the street.
Oh yeah, they're just sitting out in the middle of the street.
I was looking up when they get $1 million?
Yeah.
Is it 1 million?
Yeah, 1 million.
And they show it in the briefcase and I was like, so I started Googling, like, how much space does $1 million take up in $100 bills? And then I was like, and then I also went on and Googled, how many $100 bills can you get into a briefcase? And it's about $1 million.
Oh.
I mean, not $1 million $100 bills, but I go, how much money can a briefcase fit in $100 bills? And he says, it's about $1 million. It turns out it's about $1 million. So I was like, oh, okay, so that's that worked out. It's accurate.
That's kind of cool. That's, yeah. You see that shit in movies all the time, and you never think.
I know. I wonder if it really fit in a briefcase, yeah. And it turns out it does.
And then it seems like lately, a lot of times you see them in duffel bags.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like because people, I don't know, maybe people use briefcases less and less.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. But.
And duffel bags, it's cool because it, like, well, it's, you know, that's interesting. I never thought about that. How, like, it was very big. Well, the thing is, duffel bags is like heist stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of money to throw into a bag. It's, but it's, and the briefcase is neatly stacked.
Yeah.
You can kind of like, it's designed to be able to basically figure out how much money's there. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like quick and grabbing, but yeah. You're right. You don't see the classic briefcase with stacked money like you used to.
Well, maybe because like in Austin Powers, when Dr. Evil's like $1 million, like maybe it's not a big deal. Like a briefcase full of money isn't as big of a deal as
You need bigger.
Yeah,
we need bigger suitcases for it. Yeah.
All right, I think I'm done. I guess I should say what I until next
time. Yeah, you gotta say what you're gonna do until next time.
Till next time, I'm gonna go to the racist cafe.
Oh. It's only racist for the people who go there.
Oh. It looked like a cool diner though. I could probably get a good like biscuit and gravy there. Yeah. Just everything was gross about this movie.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do? Hey, we ticked it off our list.
Done.
All right.
It's going to make us gun shy about getting too far. Like
into we kind of have had a really good streak.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't had a really just. Well, I mean, we did watch Rebirth of Mothra 2 fairly recently, but had Gogo and Dagora.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that in this 80s American era, if there's monster movies that fit in this decade might be like going
there's like
might stink.
Empire of the Ants, I think, is like an 80s one. Oh, here.
Oh, but that's
luckily on our list, our kaiju film list, it's by year. I'm gonna take a look at the 80s. It's like Alligator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
there's not a lot.
That's definitely stuff like Alligator and I think that feels like Roger Corman era.
Yeah. All right.